Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you on this Wednesday, June the 3rd, 2020, 17 minutes past the hour, and we are along today with the Now program. Now, I do want to give you a quick programming note before we get to our guests this hour. I do want to thank Dr. Art Uihlein, best-selling author, doctor on the Today Show for so many years, for giving us the interview yesterday on COVID-19 and a possible second wave, and so much information that I think we all need to know. We thank Dr. Art Uihlein yesterday for coming on. Got a lot of positive feedback on that interview. And tomorrow morning at this time, 8:15 a.m., we're going to be joined by a man who a lot of people know of, Congressman Charles Rangel, Representative Charles Rangel, former Representative Charles Rangel from New York, and he's going to be on tomorrow talking a little bit about what we're going to talk about today, which is the George Floyd case, as well as COVID-19 being a resident of New York State. So Representative Charles Rangel tomorrow morning. Now, this morning, there's nobody better to have on to talk about this subject, but in case you've been under a rock, we've got two major news stories going on simultaneously. COVID-19 has been going on for the better part of 2 months at this point. Businesses are starting to reopen. Dr. Fauci yesterday says there might be a vaccine by the end of the year. We're going to talk a little bit about that momentarily, but the big subject today is what you've been watching on the news every night, on your local news in whatever city you're in, or the national news, because it has become a national story. On May 25th, 46-year-old George Floyd, a transplant to Minneapolis because of COVID-19, was killed, murdered, died, however you want to say it at this point, after an incident with police officer Derek Chauvin, age 44. Conflicting medical reports have come back. A video has been taken. Derek Chauvin has been fired. He is now charged with third-degree homicide. That could possibly get worse. Protest in every major and a lot of non-major cities in this country continue on. Peaceful, some peaceful, and some otherwise. Let's get into this. A man who's covered a lot of this during his time, former ABC News White House correspondent, former co-host of the very popular news magazine Primetime Live with Diane Sawyer, and co-host of the Sunday morning show on ABC for many years, this week with Sam and Cokey. Always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones the great Sam Donaldson. Sam, how are you?
Well, I don't know how great I am, but I'm up, and if at my age, that's something. You know, Scott, you adequately described, I think, the situation we're in, but I'm going to choose a phrase from the cattle drive days here in the Southwest that was revived somewhat during the Vietnam War, and it's this: hip deep in the big muddy, and the trail boss crying, "Press on." That's where we are today, and it's not good.
Mm. You know, Sam, of course, COVID-19, and you're exactly right, has been going on for 2 months. It's still a huge story. And then the George Floyd thing happens on May 25th, and boy, we don't care about social distancing there right now. Peaceful, non-peaceful protests. If you're in the news business, how do you decide what to cover at this point?
Well, you cover what you see. You cover what you hear. You're not a philosopher when you're in the streets as a reporter covering these demonstrations. You're not someone who's saying, "What will history say about this?" You're saying, "What happened here?" And you try to report the facts. It's not an easy thing. Yeah, I've been around for a while. Some of the Southern problems in the early 60s, when racial equality really became a big subject and we thought we had to do something about it in this country. And then when Martin Luther King Jr. was shot down in April of 1968, you go on and on. I can't recite all of the names that have been brought to our attention since then. Rodney King and Eric Brown and Freddie Gray and people who've been shot down by police or mistreated by police, white police mistreating black people, and we all then say we've got to do something about this. And it passes. Fortunately, last night there was far less looting, far less violence. There were still strong protests in the street, but according to the reports from various cities, mostly peaceful. And I don't know how long the peaceful protests will go on, but not for many more days. Things settle down. Again, we all say we've got to do something about this. We've got to make some improvements towards the full equality for all of our citizens. And the question is, are we going to or not?
Sam, I want to start from the back end here, which is a little unusual, and then we're going to work our way back on this George Floyd case, because here is a question a lot of people have. And when you say Rodney King, we think about Kent State. Now, that's a little different. That wasn't so much about race. We think about Trayvon Martin and all these issues that you've just mentioned. One of the problems is, and a lot of times this has started the protesting and the looting and the violent protests, is when the officer is found innocent. A lot of officers have been charged in these cases. They've stood trial, but they're found innocent. And that's when the country goes berserk. They didn't wait for the trial this time. When Derek Chauvin, 44, goes on trial, how cataclysmic could this be? And we don't, guilt or innocence, we can't make that judgment, I guess, at this point. But if he's found innocent, we had a Rodney King video. That didn't help. How do you see this playing out?
Well, you know, if you're a smart defense attorney, the first thing you will do is ask for a change of venue. So you want to move away from a community where the passions are the highest. But where would you go in the United States right now on the George Floyd case? I think anyone who has any access to the news, no matter what channel, no matter what station, knows something about this and has seen that video of that officer pressing for over 8 minutes against this black man who is on the floor, not resisting, simply finally crying for his mama, as well as saying he couldn't breathe. Where are you going to have a trial in which the jurors can say, "Well, I have no opinion on this. No, I'm going to be okay." Are you kidding? The problem, I think, in the country that we're facing again, Scott, and you ask a very good question, is what is the course we now take? If you want to hear a man who, under great pressure, outlined the two courses for this country, you have to go back to April of 1968 in Philadelphia. Robert F. Kennedy, running for the nomination of his party for the presidency, learned from his staff that Martin Luther King Jr. had been shot and assassinated. And he is about to talk to a crowd predominantly of black people in Philadelphia. And he announced the killing of King to them. And then he eloquently, please go Google it, I've listened to him 5 minutes, extemporaneous, no speechwriter could help him, talk about the two courses. Do we succumb to hatred? The hatred, he said, I felt. A member of my family, we lost it, meaning President Kennedy in Dallas, shot to death. But he said, there's the other course. Do we work to reconcile? Do we work toward love? Well, in the case of this, I hate to be I'm not a philosopher. George Floyd, do we descend into hatred for each other? Do we descend into mistrust based on the history of these matters? This is not new. Not since the Civil War have we had racial harmony. We've had racial disharmony. Fortunately, we're past the age of lynchings directly. but we're certainly not the past the age of the kind of hatred that is on display here. Or do we use it as through peaceful demonstrations, through what King promised, what Mahatma Gandhi helped to free India from the British, not violent revolution, but peaceful change, and make progress? And I must tell you, while we all, some of us at least, think, my goodness, how can you possibly not come away from this with a better understanding of what black people have needed and wanted, which is full justice and citizenship in this country, and work toward it? Well, there are a significant number of Americans who don't see it that way. And I think the real test of what's happened in Minneapolis now will be in November of this year. Do we vote Donald J. Trump and his followers out of power or not? And if you say, well, it's a lay-down cinch. Look how he's handled the pandemic. Most people now, according to the polls, say they don't think he's done a good job. Look what he's doing now, fanning hatred, not reconciliation, and everything he said. Scott, he talked yesterday about New York. He said New York was lost to the looters, thugs, radical left, and all of their forms of lowlife and scum. He omitted putting in Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Democrats all in his list of people that he fanned the flames for his base. If we don't change in November, and I think it's still an open question, this country is really headed toward a path of loss that I don't know that we can recover from.
Sam, one of the issues here, and it always becomes the issue, and maybe for the first time in big cable television, 24-hour media, was during the Rodney King era in 1992. The problem is that we all say it's awful, we all say it's terrible, we all say it might be race-oriented, but then we look, police officers become every police officer in your community. They become every police officer around the country. Police officers there are there to protect us when we need it. How can we convict one for doing their job? That becomes the argument.
Well, we can't convict someone for doing their job, but their job is not to kill George Floyd. I mean, clearly it was a murder. Now, I'm not going to be on the jury, therefore I can express my opinion. The job... And most policemen, I believe, and I think you can look at statistics and community after community, do their job professionally. They do it right. They're not there to show, I got the gun, I got the power, I've got the domination, particularly if you're black and I'm white and I'm prejudiced. Their job is to protect everyone. When the President of the United States tells them, as he did about 3 years ago, that's okay, bump their head on the... squad car when they put them back in, that is a prisoner. Well, most policemen don't do that. I'm convinced most policemen can be trusted. But if you're a black and the statistics and your neighbors and you yourself and your family have experienced the other kind of officer just frequently enough that you don't trust anyone, then it's easy to say, well, I'm against the police. We can't be against the police. The president says he wants to bring in, if necessary, the armed forces of the United States. We have laws which curtail the use of the armed forces of the United States against U.S. citizens to protect them by upholding the laws. We have a National Guard unit can be called in. We have our own, of course, law enforcement agencies in our counties and our states, but not the armed forces. But I could go on and on, but I think filibustering is not clearly in the best interest of the program. Over to you, Scott.
Well, and Sam, one of the ironies of this is a lot of these things have taken place in the South. Now, Rodney King was in California, but a lot of people don't see Minneapolis, Minnesota as the hub of a race issue.
Well, that's true, but if you look at the statistics, Minneapolis has been one of the most divided cities from the standpoint of this kind of problem, that is, police forces, or the forces of law and order, so-called, against black people that we've had outside of some of the worst places, as you say, in the South. Yes, I always thought of Minneapolis for years as enlightened because of Hubert Humphrey. I got to know in the 60s, Senator, and then Vice President, and then again Senator Hubert Humphrey. Here was a man, as the mayor of Minneapolis, who in 1948 at the Democratic Convention gave a wonderful speech saying to the Southern friends in the Democratic Party, come up out of the shadow of states' rights into the sunshine of civil rights. And of course the convention split and the Dixiecrats went off with Strom Thurmond, but still President Truman was elected. So I always thought of Minneapolis as very, very modern and forthcoming and a friend of civil rights, but that's not been the habit. One study was shown that 20% of Minneapolis population is black, but 60% of police violence as recorded officially against people have been directed toward blacks. Well, really? Yes, really. Mm.
Sam, we look at this. The video comes out. May 25th, George Floyd is killed. The video comes out. When you see this for the first time, what did you make of it?
Well, I think anyone with any civility, with any heart, with any feeling of compassion, would be horrified. I mean, you see, it's not made up. This is not fake video. This is not the fake news that the president is so happy to complain about when someone criticizes him or shows a fact which goes against what he is trying to preach. This is just horrifying. And I must say, Rush Limbaugh, the grandfather of Republican, strong conservative, always protect people like Donald Trump from any complaints, got it. Said it's intolerable. Can't stand it. This is wrong. I don't know. I haven't checked with some of the conspiratorial theorists who have, I think no one could see the video without coming to the same conclusion that this was an unwarranted murder. And you asked the question, what if, I'm not going to prejudge the verdict by saying that, who are you going to pick a jury that hasn't made up its mind? But as it happened in the Rodney King case, and for 3 days and nights, parts of Los Angeles was on fire, talking about the looting and the destruction, because the four officers from the LAPD. Clearly, again, you had video showing them beating Rodney King almost to a pulp. He was not resisting. He's on the ground. He was just having the best time of whopping up on this black man. Well, if you look at what the jury saw, brilliant defense attorney, he's saying, all right, here's the video, and yes, you see them using the club, but look how the club is held. It's not held malevolently, and look, they could have, look, the downward sweep of the club was such that it showed some restraint. It could have been full of, I mean, oh, come on, the nonsense. People look for an excuse sometimes to say, well, he's a policeman, the law and order, I mean, in my family, I've had people assaulted, and thank God the police were there. Well, okay, but it's not okay. And I trust that these other three officers, we now have indications, who stood by and watched this happen, are also culpable. I don't know what the charge would be, how severe it might be, something. Their own manual says that they're duty-bound to prevent this kind of violence by one of their fellow officers, unwarranted and unnecessary against civilians. And they just stood there.
The divide on social media, the divide with the talking heads on television right now, is race. And clearly, this has become a race issue. And clearly, the trial will be about race to a great degree because of George Floyd being an African American. Now, the big question is, yes, George Floyd was African American. Yes, Derek Chauvin is a white guy. how do we know it was about race? We know why it looks like it was about race, but would it have happened if it was a white guy? Would that?
Well, that's an interesting question. I thought about that myself, and I think every one of your listeners will probably think about it. If I, Sam Donaldson, never mind whether you knew that Sam Donaldson once was on television and, you know, people liked him and disliked him, but I was white, and I'd walked in and I bought stuff and beer and stuff at a convenience store and handed the clerk a $20 bill. Now, where did I get it? Did I print it in the basement? No, someone gave it to me, and I gave it to the clerk, and the clerk, hey, this is a fake. Shouldn't I have been smart enough to know that? Well, maybe I'm not that smart. I never thought I was. Now, I don't run away. I have not knowingly passed a $20 bill and then gone out and nearby sat around drinking with a couple of my buddies waiting for the police to catch me. I'm marginally smarter than that. So when the police do come and say, all right, now, let's take a look. And what happens. Would it have happened to me, white? I asked one of your viewers, every one of them, what would have happened to you? You might have been arrested. You would have been handcuffed. And if you sassed the officer, you might be talked back to in terms that you didn't want to hear either. But you are not going to be killed. And if it wasn't about race, then what was it about? The George Floyd smelled bad? George Floyd said a bad word to the policeman and therefore deserved to die? Come on, guys. Use your common sense. Use the logic that is so often missing now. Take me, if I may just keep on. The president decides to do a picture for his base, a photo op at a historic church across Lafayette Plaza from the White House. Some of his staff were told by reporters that were against this idea, but he said no. And perhaps he was right from the standpoint of his base. So the Attorney General cleared Lafayette Park with tear gas and rubber bullets if necessary. A peaceful demonstration was in progress. It was no violence, but clearly the forces of law and order used violence to get him out there quick because Donald J. Trump was going to walk across and show that he wasn't cowering in his basement, number one. He's a strong man. No, he's not. He's a weak, infantile man. And he's going to walk across to a church with a borrowed Bible from somewhere. Not his. He doesn't know the Bible. He doesn't know what's in the Bible. What, 1 and 2 Corinthians? Most people refer to it as 1 and 2 Corinthians. And I could go on about his ignorance that he's displayed. Not me saying it. He's saying it. And he holds the Bible. And someone's first thought is, what a silly, ridiculous thing. No, no. He knew what he was doing for his base. For his religious base. They don't know that he's not a good Christian, that he never goes to church, that he has on the record for his lifetime dismissing religion for him personally. They see the Bible. They believe him. They don't believe you, me, anyone else, any factual material. The Episcopal Bishop of Washington, who denounced his use of that historic church as a photo op prop and the Bible as a prop. They don't listen to her. They listen to him. And he knows that when he can emphasize that versus the violent protests and the scum, as he says in New York, that's what they want to hear. And it can be effective. Let me tell you about a study done after the riots after Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. Hubert Humphrey's running for the presidency. He's the vice president associated with Lyndon Johnson, the Vietnam War. He was there in Chicago to get the nomination. I was there being tear gassed in the street. That's okay. Nothing personal. But there were violent protests. And here are the forces of law and order that Mayor Daley set in with billy clubs and tear gas. Fortunately, no one shot. And the American public sees that. Well, you and I, being tear gassed, of course, I was prejudiced, thought that was kind of wrong. But a lot of Americans were afraid of the violent protests. They're afraid of them now. Never mind that the statistics show that the looting is minor compared with the peaceful assemblies in all these cities. Never mind that civil rights leaders up and down the line have called for peaceful protests. They don't encourage this looting. They don't encourage this violence. But here, mothers of children someplace else see the violence and they're afraid for their community and for themselves. And so this study shows that without that violence from Chicago and those civil war and the civil rights protests, Hubert Humphrey would have been elected. He would have beaten Richard Nixon. Enough good people, enough people who are afraid of that and don't understand it's minor compared with the peaceful protests, voted for Nixon because of that. Is it going to happen again? I trust not. I hope not. But I'm making no predictions here at this point.
And that is one of the questions, Sam, because certainly since the death of George Floyd, or murder, however people want to refer to it, on May 25th, the story has been the protests all around this country, peaceful and, as I say, otherwise. George Floyd's family has said they want peaceful protest. But why the killing, why the death of this 46-year-old man in Minneapolis, why has this brought people into the streets night after night doing what they do?
Well, I think it's explainable. Again, I won't go all the way back to 1863 when Abraham Lincoln freed the black slaves, so-called, but they've never been free. Here is President Kennedy in the summer of 1963 in his national address proposing changes of the law to do away with de jure segregation, legal segregation, which of course the next year President Johnson helped push through the Congress. And he says this is a moral question, as old as the scripture, as old as our Constitution. 100 years ago Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves, but their sons and daughters are not free. They do not have full rights of America. In other words, these things build. It's like the tsunami that comes across the Pacific Ocean, just a ripple until it hits the beach, and then suddenly it destroys everything. Every time in my working lifetime that a black has been murdered and killed by white people, and particularly by police forces, but non-police forces, it builds on itself. It's a tsunami building of outrage. We're not going to take this anymore. And finally, it snaps. Well, it snaps a number of times, and then it kind of recedes. We make some progress. And thank goodness we made some progress each time, perhaps, in the New York police situation, four policemen are looking for a rapist. And they find a guy named Delulio. I think that's the way you pronounce his name, Amadou Diallo, rather. They want to roust him, and he reaches in his pocket for his billfold to show them his identification, and they shoot him to death. Later said, well, we thought he was going for a gun. Well, there are four of them, and he's just a guy. When that happens, if you're black, you know that happens to blacks more than it happens to whites, it finally snaps. And so here George Floyd, outside of his family and friends, whoever heard of him, we see him. You're right. You can, whatever you think, his death was caused by, I call it murder. Again, I'm not going to be on the jury. I would disqualify myself if they call me. You see him murdered by a white officer who has a record, we discover, of violence toward blacks. Well, what is that about? They all somehow misused him. They cheated him somehow. They made him feel that, what? And how do we get rid of this? Well, it's generational. Babies, in my view, are born pure from their mother's womb. There may be genetic defects to their health and all. They immediately begin learning. They begin learning from their surroundings, their environment, their parents, if they have any, thank goodness, or their school, or later on their church, and what do they learn? Well, if they learn to hate black people, they hate black people. Mm. And another generation comes hating black people. If they learn tolerance and that everyone should have, regardless of the color of his or her skin, the same constitutional and human rights as everyone else, then they become, well, what did the president call them yesterday? All repeated scum. Low life, yes. Well, no, they don't. They become good American citizens, in my view. And we need more of them. And I want every baby born pure to grow up in an atmosphere of love. Read the Sermon on the Mount. People who, these evangelists, read what Jesus said. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Judge not that you be not judged. Is that what's being practiced? Did this officer practice that?
Mm.
Yet, these good Christian evangelists, they want their tax exemption. They want Roe Wade repealed. They care about things that the Christ didn't seem to think were the important things in life. I've gone off again. You have to watch me these days. I am emotionally involved, I think, as many Americans, whatever side they take. This has got to stop. We've got to do better by everybody. This country cannot survive in a world of 8 billion people where only 11.1% are white. Now, if you think that our grandchildren and great-grandchildren can hold off the rest of the world, non-white world, which is the vast majority, gaining in power, both economically and militarily, by building a wall or by simply saying, we got a missile with a bomb, you're not thinking straight.
Sam, before we move on to COVID and the current presidential election, because people might have forgotten because of all this other news, presidential election is going to take place here in just a few months, which is a weird thing to think about because we're not getting a lot of press on this. But the first problem in the George Floyd, well, I guess more the Derek Chauvin trial, has already occurred. The local coroner says that George Floyd had fentanyl, methamphetamine in his bloodstream, and that he had a bad heart, and that's what killed him. It was poor health. Now, an independent coroner hired by the family in Michigan, just up the road here, says asphyxiation, and that's suffocation. They say his heart is fine. They don't understand that, and what was in his bloodstream doesn't matter. How does that all play out?
I don't know. I'm not the coroner in either case. If they both were applying professional standards and not their own personal prejudice, one side or the other, then you have a difference of opinion, and it has to be settled then. So I suppose we ought to have another independent single or group of coroners look at George Floyd. But does it really matter? And I say that because what we're dealing with today and trying to come to grips with our great division in this country is that facts no longer seem to matter. I mean, if I now tell you that the moon is made of green cheese, and you say, wait a minute, we've actually had our own astronauts there. There are no green cheeses. Not only did the scientists disclose that there's no evidence scientifically of green cheese. In the old days, well, I lose. No one's going to believe there's green cheese on the moon. Not today. Not today. If I want Roe Wade repealed, and I want the tax exemptions, and I want this, that, and the other, and Donald Trump says things which are lies based on factual evidence. Not based on my opinion or your opinion, but there's the facts. It's like Newton's first law of gravity. The apple falls down. It doesn't fall up. But if Trump says it falls down, yeah. Then that's fake news if people say it falls up. Oh, yeah. Where does that come from? It comes from people who see in him things that they want. They want those blacks. Keep to their place, and they want those Mexicans out of this country. Now, we here in the Southwest, we all get along, but whatever they want and they see in him, they get. and they're not going to pay attention to facts. So how do you break that? I don't know. I don't know.
Sam, as you know, being in the news business for so many years, timing is everything. Now, as we have said, George Floyd's murder death occurred on May 25th. Now, we do have a presidential election going on. We know that the Democratic nominee is going to be former Vice President Joe Biden, and the Republican nominee is going to be current President Donald Trump. Now, again,
well, we think that. You're correct. But I no longer think I know much of anything after 2016, and I was so certain for so long and was one of the last people to discover that my old associate, Donald J. Trump, who I've met for 30, but I've known for 30 years in one sense or another, not close, we're not close friends and all that, but I used to interview him about his business in which he lied to me. It's okay. That's all right. Why not? Call me rude, disrespectful, and out to get him. I was not out to get him at that time. As a reporter, but the point is, I just don't understand some of the trends in this country. I see them and see that they are there. I understand they are there, but how did we get to this point?
And this comes to Vice President Biden, the Democratic nominee. 3 days before the death of George Floyd, he appeared, Joe Biden, on a very popular morning show, The Breakfast Club Radio, and gave this quote, "If you have a problem figuring out whether you are for me or Trump, then you ain't black." What'd you make of the vice president's comment?
That's one of the Bidenisms. He puts this one in his mouth. He does it constantly. Now, if you look at what he said, listen, now, he could have said, "Let me trace my record of helping civil rights versus Donald Trump's record of civil rights. And if you are a black person, clearly my record, I think you would agree, is far superior to his, and therefore you would vote for me." I mean, no, he does it in an abbreviated fashion, and he puts his foot in his mouth, and it's a wrong way to say it, but there it is. I mean, I like Biden. I've known him for years since he came to the Senate, off and on. Again, I'm not a social friend of his. But I've interviewed him many times. I think his heart's in the right place on things. He's stumbled, made mistakes. He was in charge of the hearing which made Clarence Thomas approvable by the United States Senate to be on the Supreme Court. And the Democrats were in power in those days. And he blew it with Anita Hill, who should have been taken more seriously, etc. So Biden is not perfect. Who is? I'm not. But I worry, and worried earlier this year, whether he really had it, because this is a knife fight. This is a knife fight in the dark back alley. This will make, in my view, any campaign I've seen, and I've covered them all in my working lifetime, and read about some of them before that, before I was born. This will make political campaigns in the past look like kindergarten studies. Donald Trump and his thugs will pull out every trick. And not just tricks, every deceit, not just deceits, every tactic to make Watergate look like, hey, that's okay, to win. And they will have their base behind them, and their play is to the few people in the middle, and they're fewer and fewer. And things like Floyd's death occur, fewer and fewer that just in the middle have can't make up their minds. But that's why I worry about these looters. If good white Americans, good meaning they're just worried about their families and they're worried about looting, they're worried about violence, and they see the violence and they see these protesters violent, and they don't realize that they're the minority of people in the streets who want justice for George Floyd and all people of color. And they vote for Trump. That's where he needs to get his votes. He has his base. He doesn't care what he says. They don't care what he says, what he does, anything. As long as he's their guy, he needs those votes that are still in the middle. And that's the worry for this election this fall. Because at the moment, the latest good poll shows that when it comes to the pandemic, 41% approve of the way President Trump has handled it, and 53% of the American public disapprove of the way he's handled it. He can't win on the pandemic handling. Certainly not to date. with 100,000 deaths already, another 50,000 predicted for August, and who knows by next November if there's a big second wave. And what do you think all these protesters, who are peaceful, good people, arm in arm going down the streets, some of them have, you know, a few masks on. What do you expect? And the beaches are open? Let's see. I'm for Fauci. I've known Tony Fauci for years. I trust him with my life, if I had to trust anyone with my life.
I want to come to COVID with the last few minutes we have here in just a second, but is the Biden problem this? Because I'm starting to hear this more and more as people are paying attention. Not that Hillary was the most popular person in the world, but I have heard more than one person who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 say, I'm not a huge fan of Trump, I'm not the biggest fan of everything he's done, but Joe Biden's been there too long, he's too old, I can't stand Joe Biden. From Hillary voters.
Well, there may be some of those, and I'm not... at the moment, basically, we have some evidence, as in who's handling the pandemic, Trump doing it right or wrong, and the majority of Americans say he's doing it wrong. But most of the things he does that are terrible for the country, unless you're personally involved, or you know people are personally involved, you're not quite sure about this. A trade war with China. Hey, he says, well, I'm making billions of dollars, they're paying, the Chinese are paying us the tariffs. No, they're not. We're paying the tariffs. Your listeners are paying the tariffs. I'm paying the tariffs. Yes, the Chinese have tariffs on many of their products that Donald J. Trump has put there. How do they get it? Well, they raise their prices. That's why I pay a higher price. I'm paying for the tariffs. Now, can you convince people of the facts? Because Paul Krugman, a Nobel winner and the New York Times columnist, points them out? No. I keep coming back to this cry. How can facts, which used to predominate most conversations that people would look at and are no longer looked at, regarded, believed, trusted by a significant number of Americans, how can they make the difference when it's just emotional hatreds and prejudices and a belief in the strong man? Here we are in the Big Muddy with the trail boss crying, press on. I'm worried.
Sam, with about 3 minutes left to go, we're going to come to COVID really quick here. Over 100,000 deaths. We hit that mile marker recently and more every day. Dr. Fauci now has said he thinks there could be a vaccine by the end of the year. How many people will get it? We don't know. He's worried because we've opened back up the economy. What do you make of the whole situation?
Well, I think Dr. Fauci has modified to some extent his earlier belief that most epidemiologists agree with, that it would make it probably a year or a year and a half even, because of one factor. Yes, apparently by the end of the year, there are about 8 major companies and many more minor ones that are desperately trying to come up with a vaccine. They may be able to demonstrate efficacy in subjects, enough of the subjects to say, yeah, it'll help a lot of people. But how about safety? Unless you have, I'm no doctor, but they tell me, these studies, double-blind studies, with a large enough sampling taken in a scientific way of choosing the people that you have in the sample, that shows not only efficacy, that it does good, that it works, but safety, that it doesn't do bad. Look at what we have with this chloroquine that the president tried to push. And now more and more studies show that if you have certain conditions, certain heart conditions and other conditions, the use of that stuff could kill you. And the president was pushing it, and I took it myself, he said. Well, I wish him good luck. I can send the address if I could, some, so we could have some more. But the point is, and please, ladies and gentlemen, do not try to ingest Clorox, because maybe if we put this disinfectant in our own bodies, it will... I mean, this man is not a scientist. I'm more of a scientist than Donald Trump when it comes to this, because I'll believe Fauci. So Fauci says, yes, maybe we'll have a vaccine by the end of the year. I would hope. But will it be safe? Well, I would hope. Hope's a great thing to pin your life on.
Sam, with 30 seconds left to go, do you think we'll see a second wave of this?
I do. Again, only because I trust the science. I see people now without masks on. Now the restaurants are opening. Some spacing, yes, but then the next step will be yes. I see them on the beaches in Florida and elsewhere. And I see the peaceful protesters, and I'm on their side, in the streets, arm in arm, the police chief of Denver, holding our arms and all of that. I hope no one has the virus, because if it is, it jumps right away. And I think there'll be a second wave.
Agree or disagree with what's been said in the last 45 minutes, you have to enjoy hearing Sam Donaldson's take on things. Sam, it is always my great pleasure to have you on the program, as well as the audiences. I hope to hear from you again soon.
If I'm invited, I'll come, Scott.
Stay well.
Good to be with you.
Stay well. The legendary Sam Donaldson, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes. Stay soon. Stay tuned.
And look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going, and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio, 209 East Wall Street.